This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Top tricks for passing the WST Level 3 tasting exam. So in this podcast, we're going to look at where students lose marks, our recommended exam technique, the type of wines you're going to come across in the exam, and the hacks that can help you identify them and get the maximum marks. And finally, we're going to look at a checklist of things to double check just when you finish the exam, just to make sure you don't make any silly mistakes. Before we get into where students lose the marks, I just want to mention that some of the information here is also in our PDF 3050's Guide to the WST Level 3 Tasting. We have a Introduction to Wine Tasting podcast that uses that guide quite a bit. This section on where people lose the marks is also in the guide and is quite useful, and this audio accompanies that. You can purchase the 3050's Guide to WST Level 3 Systematic Approach to Tasting. What a catchy title that one is! You can get it from our website. It costs 10 quid. Hopefully you'll find it really useful, particularly when you're sort of just starting to taste wines in the WST Level 3. It's really useful. And just at the very end, when you're about to sit the exam, it's also pretty useful then. While you're online, if you're looking to purchase our wine tasting guide to the WST Level 3 tasting exam, we do have other things to help you. We have flashcards, which are a brilliant way of learning the material. It's a load of questions that follow the textbook, and you can use it really interactively with the textbook, and then create decks of cards that you struggle with so that you can really help you jog your memory. If you're running a little bit later in the course, there's some end of chapter questions that you can do. So you can do the flashcards and then answer some specific exam style multi-choice and short written answer questions at the end of each chapter. And then finally is our mock exams. These are four mock exams with 50 multi-choice questions and then the short written answer questions in a style that reflects the marking schedule. These are all available from our website. Go to 3050.co.uk to have a look at those. Let's get into this top tips for the tasting level. And before we get into it, let's understand where students lose the marks in the exam. We took on a new WST Level 3 tutor a while ago, and he was a very experienced tutor. Name's Tom Forrest. Very experienced, very good tutor. Used to train all the people at Vinopolis, which used to be a wine museum in London. And he's been teaching the course for years, probably about as long as I've lived. Well, maybe not. And when he first joined us, I said, look, mate, just knock yourself out. Teach them the way you'd normally teach your students. And I marked the tasting papers for his students. And what I did was I went through the tasting papers looking to understand, if you get a really good quality tutor, what are the typical mistakes that students make? And what surprised me was that 28% of the marks that students lost in the exam were due to silly technical mistakes. And most of the students who fail the exam only ever fail by one or two marks. So you can see that 28% of the marks lost, that works out to be about 16 to 18% of the final exam mark is lost due to silly little mistakes. So we're going to go through the reasons why people lose marks, and then we're going to talk about ways to avoid those silly mistakes. Well, as I said, 28% of marks were lost were due to silly mistakes. But 72% of the marks lost in the exam were simply because the student put the wrong answer down. You know, for example, they might have said medium plus acidity, and I thought the acidity was high. So that is by far the biggest reason people lose marks in the exam. 72% of marks are lost just for putting the wrong thing down, and that's the way it is. But 28% of marks are because people just made a mistake. The two main ones, and probably the most important one that we can fix, is forgetting to write down a tasting point. You have to remember to put a note down for acidity and tannins and sweetness and alcohol and body and flavors and development and aromas and intensity on the nose and the mouth and the length. There's loads of stuff you've got to remember. And 11% of the marks lost, They simply didn't write down a value for, say, sugar or tannins. They just did not do that. So that is the number one mistake that is easy to fix. And we're going to talk about that as a mnemonic later on. The second big one, at 11%, is using the wrong terminology. The examiner can only mark a paper if the correct and exact terminology is used. Lots of acidity is no good. I need to see high acidity, otherwise it's wrong. Another common mistake is you'll see people use medium, minus, and medium plus for alcohol. And normally for most WSD stuff, it's like low, medium, minus, medium, medium plus, high is your range for things like acidity and tannins. But for alcohol, you only have low, medium, or high. If a student writes down medium minus or medium plus, I can't give you a mark. That is not a valid response in this exam paper. And another common mistake is readiness to drink. You must state how it's drinking now and how it's drinking in the future. Drink now, but will improve. We'll talk about these in a little bit more detail. So using the wrong terminology accounts for 11% of the marks lost in the exam. The next one, we start to drop down to the minor ones now. Writing two tasting elements for something. So, for example, if you said the acidity is medium and then somewhere else in the paper you wrote the acidity is medium plus, that's two elements. Or you might have said acidity is medium to medium plus, something like that. Then you cannot do that. You must make a decision. Now, I, as an examiner, might think, oh, that acidity is right on the line between medium and medium plus. I'm allowed to accept either medium or medium plus, but I'm not allowed to accept a range or anything like that. One of the most common reasons for this is a lot of people write these big wordy tasting notes and they sort of forget that they've already written it down and they don't see it when they're going through the paper and checking it. So we've got ways of solving that problem as well. Another one is missing aromas on the nose that you got on your mouth and vice versa. The examiner only has a single list of aromas and flavors, which they use for both the nose and the palate. So if a flavor or aroma is incorrect for the nose, then it's on the examiner's sheet, and therefore it must be correct for the mouth, and vice versa. If it's correct for the mouth, then it must be correct for the nose, because it's on the sheet for the mouth, therefore it's the same sheet we use for marking the nose. If you write it down for your nose, I've got to give you the mark. So we've got a wee process to help you make sure you don't make that mistake. And the last one, which accounts for about 1% of mistakes, or about just under a mark on your average paper, is that the examination sheet has spaces for eyes, nose, and palate. You need to write down your observations for eyes in the eyes section, nose in the nose section, palate in the palate section. If you write a tasting element in the wrong box, I cannot give you a mark for that. So, for example, if you're talking about the development of the wine, for some reason, the development of the wine is under the nose section. I don't know if it's a sensible place to do it, but it's under the nose section. And if you wrote down the wine as youthful in the mouth section, you cannot get a mark. So you've got to put the right thing in the right box. And again, we've got a nice simple way of solving that. And on average, it's probably worth less than a mark per exam paper. If you add them up, these silly mistakes, it can cost people, because most people only fail by one mark or two. Right, so how do we fix these little silly mistakes? There's not much we can do about just putting down the wrong answer, but we can solve most of the other ones. And I think by solving these, this is one of the reasons why we've got such a high pass rate. With tasting exams, we've had 4 people fail it in about a decade. So, and I've only had 1 or 2 failures in the last couple of years, and both of those times they did not follow my advice. So if you follow my advice, I can't guarantee you'll pass it, but you've got a much, much better chance of passing the exam than you would have. You'll avoid 28% of the marks lost in the exam. So how do we go? So the best thing and the most useful thing you can do is use a mnemonic. And a mnemonic is where you have sort of an abbreviation for something. So for eyes, the things you need to remember are intensity, color, and an observation. And that's echo. So echo is intensity, color, observation. So your eyes, IAD is intensity, aroma, and development. And that's for your eyes. Your nose is made up of 2 parts, satab, fifof. So satab is sweetness, acidity, tannins, alcohol, body. And fifof is flavor intensity, flavor, observations, and finish. The last one is blick, and we use that for our assessment of quality. That is balance, length, intensity, and complexity. And when you're assessing a wine using the WST Level 3 method, you really want to look at those three things: balance, length, intensity, and complexity. In our tasting guide that accompanies this podcast, I have shown in the guide how to lay out the paper correctly, the way I'd like you to do it. It's really hard to describe over a podcast, so I'm not going to even try. But what I really strongly recommend you do is you use bullet points. Bullet points mean you're less likely to make a mistake. And heck, it's a lot easier for me to mark as well. Some students really want to write their tasting note in big, long, wordy, verbose sentences. And I've got students come to me who failed the exam from other providers. They've resat with us. Some of them have gone through a masterclass where we've helped them. Sometimes they just want to resit the exam. We don't give them any guidance. And you can see the tasting notes and they're just wordy and they're full of mistakes, absolutely full of mistakes. And the reason that they're full of mistakes is if you use mnemonics, so you write down mnemonics, sat, ab, fif, off, and then you fill in the mnemonic. S is for sugar, A is for acidity, T is for tannins, and you write down tannin. After you've written sat, ab, fif, off, you write down T is for tannins and fill in the tannins. All of a sudden, there's 15% of the marks that you could potentially lose, you're not going to lose anymore. What mnemonics do, and laying it out as a bullet point, is that you're not going to forget to write down any tasting notes. That's 11% done of mistakes finished. No problems there. If you use a mnemonic, you'll be away. 3% is for writing down two tasting elements. Most people who write these big, long, wordy tasting notes, they're so long they wouldn't even see acidity twice in the paper because it's just a big paragraphs of stuff that they've written, and it's really hard to see whether you've written it twice. If you've got the word acidity and you've got the word medium there, you're pretty sure you've written medium for acidity and it's done. So it really stops putting down two terms. Obviously, you could be a numpty and go medium to medium plus, but you know not to do that. Do not do that. Only one term ever. All right. And the last one is if you enter a tasting term in the wrong box. Well, you're not going to do that because you've got your mnemonic, which makes sure you know what goes in which box. That's 15% of the mistakes in the exams people make gone just by doing bullet points with mnemonics. It's really, really powerful way of doing that. So as I say, first thing you do before you even worry about the wine is you get your tasting paper, you write down your mnemonic using the tasting guide layout, hopefully, and then you just fill them in. And then you fill in the words, so S for sugar, T for tannins, A for acidity, B for body, etc. And once you've done that for both tasting papers, you're sitting there ready to go. You know you're not going to make 15% of the common mistakes, and you can just start working your way through it. And it removes a lot of stress. It just becomes a box-ticking exercise as opposed to trying to come up with some wonderful verbose argument that you've remembered to lay out. Using a mnemonic and a bullet point is the easiest way of just improving your marks. And I definitely highly recommend you do it. Some lecturers will say, no, write it out in wordy terms. That's fine, they can mark that. But it's going to cost you marks. To give you an example, the last person who failed the tasting exam for me probably about 2 months ago at recording this. He was an online student, so when he did his pre-exam tasting note and he sent it to me and I went through it, I could see he was not doing a bullet-pointed mnemonic like I recommended. I told him that. I said, it's risky. You've got the potential for losing easy marks. He was like, no, it'll be fine. I said, okay, it's your call. You do what you need to do. In the end, he failed by 2 marks. And he forgot to write down the intensity on the nose and the mouth for both wines. He forgot 4 points in the exam that almost certainly cost him his passing that paper. If you've been doing the tasting exam with another provider and you've failed it or you're really worried about it, one of the things we can sometimes do is provide blind wines with full WST Level 3 tasting notes. Sometimes we overbottle when we're doing level 3 wines for our course or level 2 wines for courses. As we work through the wines online, I fill in the tasting note as we go, and so the students can see how I've marked it as I go. But those tasting notes are available. So if you'd ever like to get a load of wines that you can use blind to practice for the tasting exam with mock answers, do give us a call. We have them and they're available in the UK. Right, that finishes top tips on the WST Level 3 tasting exam. As I said, this is going to form part of 4 podcasts that people who want to improve their tasting ability can use, particularly if they're sitting in the WST Level 3 tasting exam. And I hope you've enjoyed it. And certainly if you're going to be doing a WST Level 3 course, this is invaluable information for the tasting exam. Okay, let's just finish up this week with our quote. And this quote comes from Mark Twain. And he says, "High and fine literature is wine, and mine is only water." But everybody likes water. Until next week, cheers and good drinking.